You're listening to Stateside. I'm Laura Weber Davis, in for Cynthia Canty. Flint's Mayor Karen Weaver is being challenged for re-election this year. We'll talk to Mayor Weaver in just a few minutes about why she wants another term leading the city. But first, we turn now to State Representative Sheldon Neely, who wants to unseat Weaver. He is a former Flint City Councilman, and this was his second time running for mayor. Rep. Neely, welcome to Stateside.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So why did you decide to run for mayor?
Well, I decided to run for mayor because I still live in the community. My family is here, and I didn't like the condition the community was in and the direction that it was going under this current administration. So I made a conscious decision to come back to my hometown to run for this particular office so we can have a level of recovery that we all can appreciate.
And what has Mayor Weaver done or not done as mayor that makes you want to challenge her reelection?
Well, I think she mismanaged a lot of different areas. You know, I think operational audits need to be taken, financial audits need to be taken. They don't have qualified individuals in position to service the residents of the city of Flint effectively. I think there's been a mass exodus of qualified individuals leaving the operations of City Hall, providing essential service for residents. And I think the money that's been allocated to our community has been, at the very least, a missed opportunity for us to be further along moving us through and out of this particular situation that we currently face.
Why does she need to be audited?
Well, I think there's a lot of dollars that's unaccounted for. And that's my opinion, based on what I've seen from the state side, more than $260 million from the state of Michigan allocated to recovery for residents of the city of Flint, another 100 or so million from the federal government, maybe another 100 million from the philanthropic community. So we got to look at really ways to be able to execute up on those opportunities by way of dollars to be able to make sure that residents have a better quality of life than they had prior to this water crisis hitting the city of Flint.
So you're saying that you've seen, as a representative, money being sent to the city of Flint that should have moved the city forward beyond where it is now, and that the money should be more apparent that was sent to the city?
Correct. I think it's a missed opportunity, to say the very least.
Okay.
For residents. And I think not only that, when I talk about operational audits, I think in an operational sense, I think people are not being placed in the strategic positions as far as employees and those critical vital roles to move our community forward. I think there's just been a missed opportunity all the way around.
What would you specifically like to have seen done with money? I mean, where are the areas that you feel like the money could have been spent more wisely, or that operational decisions could have been made differently?
Well, just to take, for instance, you know, they called it a fast-track pipe replacement program. They had the colonel operating as the lead person on the pipe replacement. Then they moved to a company called AECON. And now they're with a company, I do not know the name of this particular company, but when you have a proven strategy and you have a tactical way that you're going to go about providing infrastructure replacement, you need to stay with one particular company if they're proven to be successful in operations that they're providing for the residents of the city of Flint.
So please tell me a little bit more about this contract that was awarded that you thought that should not have been awarded the way it was.
Which contract is that? I was referring to contracts that were awarded to those individuals, but then you have other smaller companies that were awarded contracts, and there's been a lot of discourse as it relates to those things, and been allegations made by some of those companies saying that it's been some funny going on about bidding and bid rigging. I think the current situation of that is a lawsuit still pending against the municipality for those particular allegations.
What more could the city have been doing in the wake of the water crisis to bring Flint forward?
Well, they could have been doing a lot more, in my opinion. You have to have a tactical plan. You have to have a strategic plan to move the community forward. We have an aging infrastructure that was undergoing some operations to correct some of the lead pipe replacement, but also you have major hemorrhages of water throughout your system. And I think it could have been ways that you could have maximized the opportunities to be able to repair some of those things while undergoing the lead pipe replacement to save residents dollars and cents that they so vitally need in this community where the median income is only about $27,000. People are under the perception that it was a water crisis only for quality of water, but there's a second part to this water crisis. There's the cost of water in this community, and at the same time, you have other pieces to this community that has to move forward. You have crime that's on the rise. You have educational needs just in this community. You have blight in our community that we have to get under control. So you have to run all these things in tandem in order to improve the lives of residents of Flint and their families therein. And so you cannot ignore all these things that's going on while focusing on one particular area and not doing that at the best of the ability, that I see that a municipality could have actually engaged it.
You were on city council in the lead up to emergency management that also would portend the water crisis coming forward. What is your responsibility in the economic crisis?
Well, it's many urban communities throughout the state of Michigan was affected with this emergency manager type of law. Many urban communities and low to moderate income communities. And so when we look at what was happening through that whole particular engagement of emergency managers throughout the state of Michigan, you have to look at the deconstruction of many urban communities throughout the state of Michigan, not only the city of Flint, but you have to look at the city of Detroit, Pontiac, Highland Park, and Flint as well. And so, that was another problem unto itself. And so when the revenue sharing started to be reduced for these communities that was already on the line, a financial interruption, the emergency managers came in under the cloak of saying that we're going to come in to help you. But many communities are not better off as a byproduct of emergency management. And so I was able to witness that firsthand when democracy was stripped from these communities of color.
Why should voters in Flint believe that as mayor you could be more effective than perhaps just one piece of a puzzle when you're already dealing with these great economic forces? Should they believe that with you as mayor that you could handle the economic viability and situation that the city is in?
Absolutely. I mean, my track record is proven as a city council person and as a state legislator. We do have a plan, and we do have a plan of a course of attack against these illnesses that we face inside of our community and their residential, recreation, economics, education, and safety. And we have a plan to counter some of the things that we are going through. And we have to inspire and install the sense of hope back into the body of our community. Right now, employee morale is very down. Community morale is down. There's a crisis in confidence as it relates to issues of government and community engagement, and we can restore and start to rebuild those things with me there. As far as a legislator, we perfected some laws around education that's been allowing people to graduate from high school with the Flint promise that they'll be able to go to college, also with legislation and also moving forward our community with opportunities of literacy skills for young people by establishing a library inside of our community. And so we're coming back here for one reason, and one reason only, because I care so much about the community in which I live, where I'm raising my children and my family and my mother. It's a commitment of love that I'm trying to come back to this community and save it from the ongoings that's happening as we witness it right now.
Lastly, I'm curious what you think is the most misunderstood aspect of Flint, a perception that you would like to change or correct.
Yeah, we're not a community of victims. We are much more a community of victors, and that we have to reestablish that mindset within our community and outside the borders of our community. People look at our community from outside and look at us as a dysfunctional community. We're much more than that. What I would like to correct is just that, we're not victims. We're going to be one we refer to more of as victors. And my running for this office is not about vengeance. It's more about vision. And so we're coming back here to correct the course that we're currently undergoing.
Representative Sheldon Neely is a candidate for mayor in Flint. Rep. Neely, thanks so much for joining the program.
Well, thank you for having me. God bless.
Now to Mayor Karen Weaver, who took office in 2015, the year following the water crisis eruption in Flint. Mayor Weaver, welcome to Stateside. Why did you want to run for mayor again?
Why wouldn't I run for mayor again? We've done a lot. I've got a good record. And we have made a lot of great things happen to me and my administration, and we still have more work to do. So why wouldn't I run for mayor again? When you clean up a mess, you ought to be able to stay there and continue.
And why would you be the better choice over Representative Neely?
Well, some of it is what I just said. When we needed a voice, I was a voice. I was not scared to speak up. I stepped out on faith, and did what I needed to do to make things happen for the city of Flint. You know, I declared an emergency. I did that. I restored home rule and got money for new pipes, brought economic development back to the city. Housing is happening in the city. And so I have a good record, and my record speaks for itself, I believe.
We spoke with Representative Neely, and he says that he believes there is some mismanagement, some financial, and
he knows better than that, and he knows that's not true, because anytime money comes to the city, it goes through city council. So where is a record of all of this money? He knows exactly where the money went, and he needs to, you know, stop misleading the community.
He said that he would like to see an audit done of your administration. What do you make of that?
I don't make anything of it. You know, we were under emergency manager for the longest, so if we weren't handling the funds appropriately, they would never have left. So that doesn't threaten me, and it doesn't scare me. And he needs to talk to city council, because, like I said, anything that we do with money has to be approved by city council.
Well, he was a city council member when the city...
And he should know the process.
Right.
Because he was. And so for him to say that money comes to the city and there's no accounting, he knows that's not true. He sat on city council for 9 years. See, he knows that's not true. He knows how money comes through the city. And the other thing he needs to remember is when he sat on city council, they led us into receivership. So him handling money is quite scary.
That's what I wanted to ask you, is being on city council, is there more that he could have or should have done as a city council person to prevent the city from becoming beholden to an emergency manager?
Well, he could have spoken up and spoken out against it. You know, I came into office with no power, and I used my voice and got things, you know, going back in the right direction. And so when people say they had no power, it's not true, because your voice is your power. I remember when people said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to use my voice. The other thing he could have done was not told the people that the water from the Flint River was good for consumption, that we should switch to the Flint River. So he could have spoken out about the funds and, you know, talked about that more. And he could have spoken up and spoken out about the water. And he didn't either of those things.
Is there more that could have been done or should have been done in the wake of the water crisis since you've taken office, as far as ensuring people are getting clean sources of water?
What I would like to have seen done was, this was the previous administration, but when we were under Governor Snyder, one of the things that the residents were told was that the water pods would stay open until we completed the lead service line replacement. Our goal is to be done this year, and, you know, the water pods shut. So we have help centers that continue to be open, but that would have been nice. Another thing that we have been asking for, advocating for, fighting for, is for those residents whose plumbing and fixtures and appliances were damaged, for those to be replaced. You know, that would have been helpful. I'm also asking about is, you know, we have the lead registry, which, because we had a public health crisis, and that's a way for us to track people that were exposed to the water and health outcomes. And we got funding for 5 years, and 1 year is already up. Well, one of the things we know is some of these things, whether they're physical health issues, mental health issues, may not manifest themselves within the next 4 years. It may take 7, 10, 12, 20 years. And so we need to have that in place, because people all around the country are not only looking to us to see how you handle a water crisis and you start advocating and speaking up about the issues and challenges around water safety, but also infrastructure and how we handle the public health crisis. And so I think that's something that needs to be taken into consideration as well.
Well, now that we are seeing some of these other large cities, Detroit among them, emerge with their own water problems, and we're seeing that this is much broader spectrum problem across the country and across the state, do you ever worry that Flint's stature in this fight for clean water and the right to water will be diminished?
No, actually, Flint is the one leading the way, because people all over the country are calling us. They're asking us, how do you handle this? What do you do about this? Who should we be talking to? What should we be looking for? And so we've really become the voice and the poster child for so many other cities and communities all across the country. And one of the things we've always said to everybody is, don't let us go through a crisis and not learn from us, and use us as your voice, because we know that there are issues all across this country with water quality standards, with aging infrastructure. I said, the thing that I think the thing that makes Flint different is this was done at the hand of government. because, you know, we knew that we had a water problem for 18 months, and we were told that we didn't. But I am glad that people are paying attention to the importance of clean water and access to clean, affordable water. So Flint has played a leading role in that, and I think, you know, we're happy with that, because to go through this crisis and people not use us and not learn from us would be a tragedy as well.
Mayor Weaver, if you're reelected, what would you like to focus on?
Well, some of the things we've already started. You know, like I said, we're almost finished with the lead service line replacement, but we've got to finish that up, because even once that's done, I'm not going to sign off on the water until our technical advisory committee, which is made up of physicians, scientists, and public health professionals, say they want to see clean water in place and how long they want to get good test results before we sign off. So we need to continue that. Some of the other things that we have really focused on, in addition to what I've talked about as far as the needs that we still have, economic development. That's a huge thing for us right now, because one of the things you know is when you have a crisis, economic opportunities come as a result of that. And so we've really been playing a bad hand well, as I like to say, as far as making economic opportunities happen for the residents of this city. You know, we have economic development back at City Hall for the first time in 14 or 16 years, and we've really been focused on that. You know, when Lear came, it was the first time a factory was built in 30 years. We're still looking at other economic opportunities for the residents here, and it hasn't been just big businesses. We've really done a lot for small business and entrepreneurship. Housing, that's something else. Public safety. So, I mean, you know, we keep saying this is going to be a great comeback story, and we're in the process of that, and we are moving from crisis to recovery. So we're going down the road exactly the way we want to. People have said that recovery looks like jobs. It looks like opportunity. And that's what we're making happen here in the city of Flint. So it's an exciting time for us. It really is.
Karen Weaver is the mayor of Flint. Mayor Weaver, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.